Dave and Doreen, along with Marcus, we're broadcasting live from Children's, Wisconsin. It is the 24th annual Miracle Marathon. Every single penny helps these kids here in some way, shape, or form. If you don't believe us, just keep listening because we got another unbelievable story. Let's welcome Mike and Rachel all the way from Black Creek, Wisconsin, which, as you said, about a two-hour drive, right?
Okay. Unless Dad's driving.
Unless Dad's driving. But dads are always, we get 20. There quicker. We get there quicker. We're here today to talk about the third of your three children, right?
Correct.
This little guy here, Tennyson Octavius Emil Seegers. Did I say that right?
Got it.
Okay. Yep. 2.5 years old and truly a miracle. Mm-hmm. You found out you were pregnant with baby three about April of 2019. Did you know right away that there was going to be a situation you were going to have to deal with?
Not at all.
Not at all. So you go through this pregnancy and everything is, what are you thinking?
Everything was smooth up until that typical 16-week appointment where they do the, big ultrasound.
Yeah.
Big one, And I'm on certain medications that put me at a, or put the baby at a higher risk of potential complications. So I was sent to a specialist locally to have that initial ultrasound completed. And that is where some fluid was found, some concerns with other areas. No stomach was visible. So she referred me down here to Frater, Children's Fetal Concerns.
Okay. And when you get here, what do they do?
Ultrasounds, amniocentesis, MRIs, a lot of different testing, meeting with neurosurgery, neurology, meeting with Dr. Densmore.
Who's here right now? Dr. Densmore, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So at what point did you realize what you all were dealing with here?
Well, there's a funny backstory to this. A few years before Tennyson was born, I had the opportunity with a team of folks here at Children's to care for another young man who was born without a trachea. And we managed, through really collaborative effort with our cardiothoracic surgeons, our general surgeons, our anesthesiologists, all hands on deck, we were able to repurpose that young man's esophagus to become a substitute for a missing trachea. And so when I met this wonderful family in prenatal consultation, I reviewed the ultrasound, and that previous case changed the way that I look at some of these prenatal ultrasounds.
Sure.
Now. So I remember very briefly just saying, there's this other chance that this could be a trachelogenesis. It's really rare. It's like lightning striking. I never expect to see it again in my career. We kind of left it at that. And then, and by no means were we certain of that diagnosis. I threw it out as a potential, very low risk, very low probability.
Low probability,
thing.
Right.
But I, for completeness, we try to make a
sure.
complete list for people. And it really became obvious once Tennyson was born.
And I have to say that the little boy that you were talking about, Thomas, I believe, we interviewed him and his family 3 years ago when we were here, and it was truly a one in maybe more than a million that he was thriving, essentially, doing as well as you can possibly do. And now it's, is it one in a billion now? Because now we've got Tennyson.
Yeah, I think we don't really know how many babies with this diagnosis never make it out of the delivery room, where it's just never known.
Wow.
I had the great fortune of meeting some Japanese surgeons at a conference back in 2014 who had a number, a handful of survivors. And when you think about success in those cases, it really has to do with the fact that if you're born somewhere in Japan, you can get to the most sophisticated children's hospital very quickly. And so it's really about relationships. Surviving this is about relationships with neonatologists out in the community and with recognition. And so, I think that I think we have that here.
We definitely do.
So Tennyson is he's the cutest little guy.
He really is.
He's just a happy fella. Tell us about some of the challenges and things that you as mom and dad go through.
Do you want to start?
He's a typical two-year-old. Just being crazy and wanting to get his way no matter what. And it's challenging just being a two-year-old, but with all his medical complications on top of that is just another challenge.
So through daily routines, you know, continuing to suction him throughout the day, giving him medications, treatments, going to therapies. We got 3 therapies a week, plus at home working with therapies. Thankfully, we have in-home nursing, so we can work during the day, but, you know, still nights and weekends and trying to establish this routine for him. And
plus you have other kids.
Right, plus 2 other children. Mm-hmm. So that's what makes it a little bit more challenging, is trying to keep up with him and balancing life.
Right. And I hear that he's learning some sign language as well.
Yes. I don't know. I think we're up to like 25 words
right
now.
That's incredible.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
He's got a good vocabulary going for himself.
So, Doc, do you think that maybe, just maybe, this is, I mean, more common than people think?
It could be. And I think that's something we'd like to get the answer to. It's a hard thing to... It's a hard thing to diagnose, and unless you're in an environment that's really flush with all the tricks of the trade required to save a child like this after a delivery. So,
how do you repurpose? I mean, how does that work?
Well, so the trachea is a rigid structure. It's a pipe. You know, if you think about a pipe, it's solid walls, and it's designed to stay open when you take a breath in. The esophagus is pretty floppy, and it's a little bit different. So we've had to learn some tricks about how to use, you know, for instance, our ENT and tracheostomy team has done huge work with custom-made tubes that basically function to hold the esophagus open. It looks very much like a tracheostomy tube, only much longer. And, you know, without their expertise and their continued help with managing Tennyson, this wouldn't really be possible. Again, it touches so many areas and expertise of the hospital that it's hard to mention everybody, but it's a big deal.
So coming down here to Children's has become rather routine for you guys. You guys have become used to it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the hospital, what's this place mean to you?
It means everything. Not a day goes by that I'm not grateful for everybody here at Children's. This hospital, it's felt like a home for so long, which might sound crazy because who wants to call a hospital home?
That loving care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The love.
That's it. It's the love. Yep. They surround you with love, and they give you that kind of care and treatment and physical support, psychological support, whatever a family needs, Children's of Wisconsin's here for it. Doctor, thank you very much. I didn't even mention John Densmore of the Doors. That's his name. I'm sorry, but I'm a Doors fan, so
there
I think.
You go.
Come on, if you were named after a guy from Rush, Marcus would be all in
sure.
on that. So. Thank you for driving down, and thank you for sharing the story of Tennyson. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
If you can see your way clear to make a difference in 414-337-9554, and we'll be back with more Miracle Marathon next on 96.5 KLH.